Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. Welcome to it. We're doing another one. This time, we're streaming again. You know, in case you didn't get to see it last time because I messed it up. Well, you know, this time it works. So that's good. I'm your host, Adam. And this with me, I think, well, if I'm pointing this way, I think this way. That's Mr. Greg. How you doing today, Greg?
I'm doing well. I had no idea that you were going to stream this live tonight.
Oh man,
I would have put on something better, maybe a suit and tie, but,
like your studio outfit. All right, folks, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what it's going to be. We're talking about the Conference USA tournament and things related to it. Let's just get right into it. Big event, Frisco, Texas. The Star, the Ford Center at Star. There was back and forth on the internet. A lot of the Eastern teams and people that didn't show up, right, didn't come out, they are like, this is obviously bad because I saw a picture of it. And I can't imagine that it would be any good out of that. Therefore, I hate it. And let me think of all the reasons on why this is the worst idea ever. We were there, and I'm gonna ask you just straight up, what's your 30-second opinion on the whole place?
I enjoyed it. I thought that most of the views were pretty good. I thought the layout was fine. I thought the execution of most things were okay. The one complaint that I heard most that I thought that was a pretty good complaint was you couldn't really find the score. The video boards were pretty low, and it was hard to wherever you were sitting at, you know, even press row on up. You really never got an idea of what the score was or kind of what was going on or the replays. So overall, I thought it was a great venue. I thought it was a great place. I thought Conference USA did a first-class job of putting on a great event.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big complaint. And I think it's one of those things that they thought was going to work out. And then when they sat there like, oh, this is clearly a bad idea. Let's fix it. As soon as we can. But, you know, they already had everything in place. It's a next year kind of thing. Those little blips that happen in a first-time event, I got to forgive them for that. I mean, I don't hold them, you know, like to the fire about it. If we came back next year and they have the same exact setup and didn't consider any of the mistakes, then, you know, we can yell and scream at them. But I thought number one priority was to make it interesting, right? Because there were how many conference tournaments were on this week?
Between the 2 weeks, I mean, everybody has a conference tournament, so there's 32 conferences.
Yeah, well, I was thinking at that same time, like, you know, going on at the same time, I think the SEC was having their tournament, right? The Big 12 was having their tournament. I know the Big 12 was having their tournament because at least one person was streaming it, but, you know, whatever. We'll go from the top. They need to get people to pay attention. One way to get people to pay attention is to have it in a unique venue. The other way is to, I don't know, have it at a weird time. You can't have it at a weird time because you need people to attend. This conference is so spread out, right? From El Paso to, what is it, Hampton Roads, all the way down to Miami. It's basically the entire southern United States. And there's no good place for everybody to go where everyone's going to be happy with the travel. Like, people are saying, yeah, Birmingham or Nashville or something like that. Nashville's kind of it's a distance away from El Paso. It's a long way away from San Antonio. It's a long way away from Dallas. And I don't think that Frisco is a bad location, although I do understand that it's tough for, you know, everybody getting over here from Bowling Green.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough, but, you know, having two major airports in the same city makes it, you know, pretty easy to travel in. I mean, if you knew the conference tournament was going to be here next year again, you could get on Southwest and book a flight for, you know, whenever they do a special for $48, $49. I mean, that's pretty cheap travel to, you know, if you know in advance to get here. You're not going to get that in any of the other locations you were talking about.
Yeah, and the other part about this whole thing is that nobody in this league has a fan base that is going to travel in significant numbers anywhere, right? That's the other thing. We all know this. This league is a league of others and stepchildren. That's what it is, right? Like in the state of Texas, North Texas is something like the fifth or sixth. I don't say option, but it's like in terms of like political power, sway in the state. You know, North Texas has 30-something thousand students, 35, 38, something like that, which I think is like the third or fourth largest in the state. But it doesn't wield that much power in here because there's not a whole lot of North Texas grads that are power players in the state. Same thing, you can go down the list, right? Just look at the conference. UTSA, not a power broker. UTEP, not a power broker. UAB is so not a power broker that they were eliminated as a football team, you know, was it 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was. You go down the list, right? Western Kentucky, everybody cares about Kentucky, and then maybe Western. I think a guy, one of the kid media dudes there was like, yeah, you know, my number one team is Kentucky, and my number four team is Western, you know, so it's kind of cool for me to root for them. It's like, okay, it's the same way all across the board here. So nobody's going to have a fan base that's going to change the game. I think we're in the hotel room, me and the woman. And, you know, we were watching whatever. And I turned on the ESPN or something like that. And they're talking about the Big 12 championship game. And they kind of pan over, I think it was in St. Louis or something like that. Might be thinking the SEC. One of these places. And you just see a large crowd of fans, right, traveling there. You didn't really see that in Dallas or Frisco or anywhere. You saw, you know, a handful of Western folks walking around, maybe a middle. I saw two Old Dominion people walking around. But you don't really see this big, giant group, you know, taking over the downtown area. That, you know, and you can see that in the stands, right? The stands look pretty full because they had bleachers that held, what was it, like 2,500, something like that, 3,500 people.
I don't know what the total attendance could have been if it was packed for one part of the arena.
Yeah, I mean, me either. But when you have those parameters, I thought they did a great job. They made it unique. It was entertaining. It was in a cool little spot. The whole area is fun. And I wrote about this, and I don't want to take up too much time. Just basically reading my own writing, like, it was good. And then I said it was even gooder. Frisco's a decent town to travel to, right? It's not, you know, it's not on anybody's list of places to see before you die, right? It's like brand new also. I think like 400, the population increased by like 400% from like 1990 to 2010 or something like that. Point is, it's a decent town. It's clean. It's small enough you can get around and not get lost, right? You're like, oh, I'm on Warren. Does that mean I take Gaylord or don't take Gaylord, right? Or just keep going on Warren and then now I'm somewhere else, right? It's just like a cross street, and then the Star Complex is the Star Complex. Places to eat. You're not going to go broke, but you will spend some money out there. And that's fine. I mean, you're going to travel. It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a perfect spot. Yeah, I think that was probably the one downfall is the amount of money that you're being forced to spend out there, you know.
Yeah.
The prices were Jerry Jones prices for concessions.
Yeah,
getting into it, I mean, if you want that big group of fans to come in from the Dallas area to just watch good basketball, you're going to probably have to drop the prices a little bit lower than they were.
Yeah, that said, $15-$20. $20 to see two games is not a bad deal. And I think if you're trying to attract people that can afford it, you can't go wrong by choosing Frisco. There's a handful of people there. Not a bad deal. I wouldn't hate it if they said, you know what, we're going to do 2 years in Frisco, 2 years in like Charlotte, right? And then 2 years back in Frisco, 2 years in Charlotte. You know, East, West, make it easier for the Texas teams in Louisiana, Southern Miss, and then we'll make it easier for everybody else.
One thing, it didn't really get a lot of coverage up here from our local sports media.
Yeah. But, I mean, North Texas doesn't have a local TV station, right? You know, like NTTV is the local TV station, which is the college station. That's a thing, right? Anyway, in North Texas, there's a bunch of alums that are at the radio station, right? The Ticket, and you know they interviewed whoever. But I think that's one of the problems with Dallas is that there's a lot of stuff going on that they don't really like a conference tournament, small conference tournament doesn't really changed the game for them. I think there's a lot more Big 12 fans in the area than there is Conference USA fans. That's just a fact. I know it. Again, all right, so let's segue into this. When you call out a segue, it's not really a segue, but we'll do it. I want to talk about being media and, you know, having access there. Because, like, we were media, right? We're sitting in press row. I think it's kind of dangerous. I had some people ask, like, what don't you, like, talk to them all the time and get all these interviews or do that? I don't really like doing that all the time because I think one problem you run into is that you start enjoying getting access, right? You're like, oh, man, I like these courtside seats right here. These are real nice. You get to see the game, you know, they hand you the stats and all this other stuff. And worst case scenario is that you end up just doing enough so you can maintain the access, right? Start saying things people want you to say. Not that anybody's pressuring us to do that, but, I mean, that's a danger. And, you know, you don't really critique anything going on because you're like, oh, I really like those courtside seats, man. Those are really amazing. I'd like to be able to do that more often at the bowl games, whatever the case may be. But I think you do get some things having that access that you don't normally from the stands. I mean, it was cool sitting up there and, you know, hearing them talk to the refs. You get a lot of stuff that you don't get watching on TV all the time or sitting up in the stands with the fans, right? Hearing some guy yell some things that are inappropriate for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to point that out. I mean, because I know some people are like, well, how come you're not always at all these things? And then other people are like, I thought you were one of us. What happened? Why are you down there with the media? So I just kind of wanted to address that a little bit, I guess. I mean, you know, that's the thing is that I like going to the games and sitting in the stands, experiencing it how everybody else does, you know. I think one problem, I went to a bowl game and sat in a press box, is that it's like sterile up there, right? You can't cheer or nothing. So, you know, like, what's it, Colton McDonald doing a scoop and score, and I'm just like nodding, good play. And then, you know, I type it up, send a tweet out. That's not as fun. I mean, part of this whole thing's supposed to be fun, right? But then you do a little media-ing, and you know, you get some of the extra stuff so that way you can better let everybody else know. All right, so you got any thoughts on that? Did you enjoy those courtside seats? Did it give you a level of access that you're like, now a level of insight? You're like, now I fully understand this basketball team.
I already understood them before, Ian, but no, it was fun getting to see it at that level. Yeah. It brings you back to the old days, you know, when you're actually playing.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch, you know, the speed of the game down there. Everybody, like you said, talking to one another. I think one of the things that fascinated me was, you know, so much of the media that was around us, not necessarily North Texas people, but people that you're like, I have no idea why you're here or who you're covering or what you're doing, but they're just not, they weren't even paying attention to the game. Like, okay, I'm here to watch the game and critique what happens. And you're over here, like, who are you? And just blew my mind.
I mean, yeah, we don't want to call anybody's name because I don't even know half the people's name. There was a lot of people there doing their job during their gig. I mean, there was a lot, like a rotating cast of people. There's occasionally one or two, and I think there was one tweeted out, and I thought it was hilarious because I saw a lot of that. They were just, you know, looking up their the cruise lines, like, where am I going to go? Spring break's coming. I mean, but there's a basketball game going on right in front of you, man. See, and I think that is, you know, talking about media, I think you can get too comfortable up here. You're like, oh, I'm going to be right here and, you know, sit down and not pay attention. I think it's kind of lame. I think, you know, not to say that you're really stealing a seat from anybody else because there was lots of open seats around there, but, I mean, you potentially could be doing that, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a cool. And
that's what would have frustrated me is if there was somebody down there that wasn't, you know, covering North Texas or really had no purpose to be there and they're doing that type of stuff. Whereas, you know, us or even, you know, if there was another person from North Texas that wanted to cover the game and then they lose a spot down there to some, you know, somebody who, you know, maybe has some a little bit more press background, but they're just not even really doing or covering the game. They're just sitting there just to sit there.
Yeah, I think if you're going to sit there, you can sit in a press box. They got plenty of just sit there seats, or right. Even in the stands. They didn't even bother you for that. That was cool. As far as like access and all that, the conference was very accommodating. All that was amazing. I think they do a great job. They're very cordial, and they're, you know, they'll give you whatever access you want or whatever access you need. It's always been that way in my experience, and I haven't heard anybody else complain. So good on them. I think it was it Tim McNamara. They used a lot of, I think, North Texas alums to do some of their stuff. I think, I'm very biased here. I think using North Texas people is good. I think that our broadcasts, the ones that are produced by North Texas Media, are like the staff, NTTV, whatever, for like the broadcasts and things, I think they do a great job, definitely compared to UTEP. And I think UTEP is the lowest, because UTEP is just like, I don't know, there's like one guy zooming in on the ball. Like, what's happening here? What sport is this even?
Yeah. We're topping that game, so.
All right, so we talked about Frisco. We talked about media stuff. Let's talk about important things and that are not about ourselves, right? Let's talk about the College Basketball Invitational. What is it? How did it come to be? And why do we care? What is it? It's a postseason tournament. It's designed to make money by it's owned by the Gazelle Group. They put on some other classics. They're like a PR group, sports management and event management service thing. I don't know how long these postseason tournaments are going to last. This one, the CBI or the CIT or even the NIT in certain respects. But, you know, they're like, hey, look, we're going to have 32 teams. And then, you know, you see them show up with 26. Or they're like, yeah, we're going to have 26. And they show up with like 10. There is an entrance fee, but apparently, shout out to Brett Vito, journalist extraordinaire. He kind of found some more information. The home teams pay a fee to enter the tournament. So North Texas wasn't out any money. And apparently they were looking at North Texas for a while, and it was always kind of a deal to be in this thing. So we're playing in it. We're playing South Dakota. Tell me about South Dakota, please, sir.
Well, they're a good team. You know, they've taken a lot of teams down to the wire, you know, lost close to TCU, lost close to St. Mary's, lost close to UCLA. They can score the ball well. Their, you know, points per possession per 100 possessions would be about 110, and then their defense is, you know, 98 points. And so that's top 100 in both those categories. They shoot the ball well. They don't allow other teams to shoot the ball well. I think if you're going to score on them, you got to really do it in their mid-range game. But they don't allow a good shooting percentage, you know, when you shoot mid-range. They don't have a lot of height or a lot of size, but they make up for it with their backcourt. And their backcourt is really good. And it's led by Matt Mooney. You've seen him in the articles that Vito and Bruni have wrote for the NT Daily. He's one of the best mid-major guards out there. You know, just watching a little bit of him in the Summit League. They're from the Summit League. They lost to South Dakota State in the championship game, 97-87. Just watching Mooney play in that game, I mean, he's just unbelievable. I think he had over 30 points in that game. He's really a matchup nightmare type of guy you talk about for North Texas. I don't know who exactly we're going to put on him.
Yeah, so you tweet at Grant.
Yeah, I don't really want to see Roosevelt Smart play him. I think Rose is kind of the defensive weakness out of that starting five. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw AJ Lawson match up against him. Some other guys, their center, Tyler Higgendorn, 6'10", does a little bit of damage everywhere, but I think he's one of their better three-point shooters. He shoots close to 40% from the three-point range, and he's kind of like a pick-and-pop type of guy. He's not really a big time rim protector, so he's not a guy that's going to swat a lot of shots, and that's a good thing. South Dakota as a whole doesn't block; they don't block a lot of shots, which we tend to get a lot of shots blocked. Some of the other guys that you talk about that are worth mentioning: Trey Birch Manning, a 6'6" guard forward. He had a pretty good game in the championship game, and then their other guard, Tyler Peterson. I thought he played pretty well. Their point guard, Tristan Simpson, he was good as a freshman. They gave him a little bit more responsibility this year, and not really a threat to score, but he just kind of that guy that, you know, makes the team go. And they're not a particular deep team. One area that, you know, doesn't show up in the stats that they foul a lot, but and I think that's from the Summit League as a whole. If you look at the Summit League stats, they're not a league that gets to the free throw line a lot. So I kind of translated into their stats. But if you're a team that can get to the free throw line a lot, they will put you on the line. And that's due from their aggressive nature, you know, on defense. They turn you over a lot. They're one of the, you know, top 30 in turnover percentage. Like when I said they didn't have a lot of height earlier, they still do a good job rebounding. They're just a really solid mid-major team. I mean, when they have over, let me see I think their record was 28-6 is what it was.
26-8.
So I had it reversed there.
Yeah.
So you look at, they lost early in the season to TCU by 5. They lost at Duke by 16, but they still put up 80 points. And they lost by 3 to UCLA, who's playing tonight. Those are pretty good games. You know, they didn't win. And then in conference, like I said, they lost to South Dakota State, South Dakota State is very similar to South Dakota. They're real good mid-major teams there. So it's a good matchup. It's going to be a tough environment to go up there. I think the biggest thing is where is South Dakota's mindset? Because these postseason tournaments are a crapshoot. Yeah. You're either motivated or you're not motivated from what happened. You look at a team like Vermont playing Middle Tennessee tonight. Vermont got crushed by Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee was probably pissed because they lost early, whereas Vermont was a little bit crushed because they lost on the last second shot. So how does South Dakota, what's their mindset after losing by 10, you know, to South Dakota State, you know, a team that I think last year they lost in the championship game as well to South Dakota State. I think I'm going to double check on that.
I'm not going to look it up. I am going to look it up. Yeah, they did lose to South Dakota State last year. It was not in the championship game. It was in the second round of their tournament.
Okay. Okay, so all season long, that's who these two teams, South Dakota State and South Dakota, were picked 1 and 2 in the Summit League. So, yeah. I mean, that was their whole year was we got to beat them in the championship. And they beat them during the regular season and lost to them once at the end of the regular season. But
Yeah, they beat them. They beat them pretty handily. It was at home. And then, you know, they lost a close game on the road. That's pretty terrible. They played – what was this? I don't remember them playing Southern Miss. It looks like it was at a neutral site. I don't know what tournament that was, but they beat Southern Miss. Not that it really means anything, because Southern Miss is not – they're not good. I know they beat Middle Tennessee, but they're still not good.
Beat us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part. I think it's real difficult to figure out – for me – sometimes, because I know what our team is, and I know kind of what to expect, but I don't know what to expect on a nightly basis from this squad, and I don't know where their motivation is. Like, I don't know, like, if they feel like, you know, because you were mentioning Middle Tennessee, obviously, right, felt miffed. Like, we should be in the NCAA tournament. We are better than, you know, where they're putting us, so we're going to win this NIT. They came out tonight like, you know, we're going to win this thing. And we deserve to win this thing. I think even like Western, they're coming into it like, we should have beaten Marshall. Like, we roared back 11 points in the last three minutes, whatever it was. And, you know, like, we should be, blah, blah, blah. Same kind of deal. They even, feel like maybe they should be in the tournament. But North Texas, where's the motivation? It's like, we know that we're an improving team. We know that we gave La Tech a good game, but I think for the most part, North Texas played the game that we kind of expected. It was a tough game. We knew it was going to come down to execution down the stretch. They couldn't make free throws. And that's about it. They, you know, like, they lost fair and square in a lot of ways, I thought. So, I mean, I don't know how much more motivation you have there. Where do you feel this the motivation is? You're going on the road, too. That's the other part.
I mean, it's another opportunity to play basketball together, you know, postseason play.
Yeah.
I understand it, you know, from Wren Baker's and Grant's perspective. They're both, you know, Wren having the basketball background. I understand why he's doing this.
Yeah.
Or would want to do it. Even if we were hosting, I have no doubt that they would pay the money for it. I don't know where North Texas' motivation will be. Obviously, I think it's, you know, house money. I think they'll be happy to be playing. If you're a basketball player at this time of year, you want to play in March. But if you're North Texas and you've gone through the years of Tony Benford and the, you know, I know a lot of the guys haven't, but
yeah,
for some of the guys that have, you know, like Ryan, it's something that they may enjoy and they may, you know, try and capitalize on the moment and try and use it as a building block. Like, hey, we're going to use this to jumpstart next year.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there is no motivation and they should not be motivated here. I'm saying there's no easy narrative motivation. Like, you would hope, yeah, hey, we got to play more basketball. You know, sweet. Well, let's do it. But I do think that it requires a different level of motivation to play D1 college basketball at a high level. You know, because you can still go out. I mean, these guys are real good. But to go out and compete on the road, I think it takes a level of focus, a level of motivation. And I don't know if it's easily gathered for this particular game. You know, because let's be honest, nobody grows up dreaming about the CBI. You know, there's no One Shining Moment song. They don't even have a song for the CBI, right? There's no song, there's no game, there's no nothing about the CBI, right? A lot of people watching this, listening to this, have heard about the CBI only today. They're only this week. Like, CBI? What? Okay. Let me Google that. So I think they'll go out and they'll play, you know, because I don't know any game this season where Grant McGaslin hasn't had them playing good basketball, or at least motivated basketball, right? Effort basketball.
Dang.
I mean, they haven't executed it sometimes, but I think they try, you know, and that's all you can really ask for. You know, before we continue, do you mind if we kind of recap the tournament a little bit? We kind of skipped through it. I skipped through it. It was my fault. But I just want to talk about the way it happened. Middle Tennessee obviously lost to Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, your four semifinalists were about what I expected, right? Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, Marshall, and that should have been Middle Tennessee, right? Like, everything sorted out the way we expected, except for the one big one.
You could have, I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if it was Marshall over Middle Tennessee. I mean, they beat them twice. So yeah. I wouldn't, there was nothing that was shocking out of the last four. I think the way that Western Kentucky dominated UAB in the quarterfinal there, I think that was probably a little bit shocking just because of how well UAB had been playing coming into the tournament. The fact that they UAB dominated Western Kentucky right before the tournament. So I was a little bit, you know, I thought UAB was going to advance. After Louisiana Tech played us, I thought that they had every opportunity to beat Old Dominion because I thought that they were playing very well. I thought their style that they were playing at would match up fine with ODU and that they would have opportunities. And they had opportunities in that game. They could have stole it.
Yeah.
If we would have played ODU, we could have stole that game as well, too. So, again, nothing that, you know, led to the semifinals was shocking to me. The final game really wasn't shocking as well. I came into this thing thinking that, you know, Middle Tennessee was probably the best team, but I didn't know if Middle Tennessee, the way that I'd seen them play all year, that that they could win an NCAA tournament game. I thought they were, you know, a great team, obviously, but they just didn't jump off the page at me as like, I'm going to pick them for an upset. But if Marshall or Western Kentucky was going to get in, I would be fine picking them with an upset just because of their uniqueness and their ability to score at multiple levels. You know, Marshall has the, you know, two dudes, Burks and Elmore, who can score over, you know, 20 points a game. And then they have the, you know, Penava blocking shots. And Western Kentucky, Justin John, you know, their starting five is as good as anybody's out there. So, and I know that's a disservice to Middle Tennessee, but I just felt like those were our best chances at an upset in the tournament.
No, I think you're right. And you know, the reason I wanted to recap and talk a little bit more about it is because, like, Justin Johnson had an incredible tournament, and I think if Western Kentucky wins that game, then he's like the tournament MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, he really had an incredible game against Old Dominion. Just little things. You know, you show up in the box score as like 4 points, but the 4 points he got were at crucial times when it looked like Western Kentucky was having a hard time making anything happen, and he scored 4 points, both of them through contact, and that got him hyped. They got his whole team hyped. I don't even think he made the free throw on the second one. but like, that was the thing. It just kind of elevated everybody. They were like, okay, we can get to the rack because we got Justin Johnson. And then he would step out and give him a different dimension, and that was something that Old Dominion didn't have in that game. Because Trey Porter was dominating the way Trey Porter does, right? You know, it's basically giving the ball, he's going to dunk on you. And that's what he did. Like, when Old Dominion finally found a way to get him the ball, he would score. I mean, he was out with foul trouble. He came in the second half, and he just, you know, he scored easily. All of a sudden, the Monarchs looked like the team that, you know, we saw on the stat page, a very efficient offensive team. But they didn't have an extra dimension. None of those guys, Ahmad Kaver, the Stith guys, none of them really could get anything. And that's a credit to Western Kentucky and their defense. I think their defense was underrated all season. You know, they were hyped. They were playing well. And, you know, like you're saying, they got a lot of talent. So when your offense, you turn the ball over, all of a sudden they got these horses running down the other way. Darius Thompson flying through the lane. You know, and then Justin Johnson able to finish anywhere on the floor. That's a good basketball team, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Western make some noise in the NIT. And you know, same thing mm-hmm. with Marshall. That was an incredible championship game. It was a really good game. Like it looked like, you know, when one team went on a run, you looked up and it was actually only a 4 or 5 point run. But it felt like it turned the game just because it was so hard. Like each team was playing real hard, they were executing well, and a lot of their misses were just misses, right? Or you know, good defense. And then the other way around, like it was a run by Marshall, run by Western, run by Marshall, run by Western, and at the end, that run just didn't last long enough. There wasn't enough time. I would have liked to have seen if I was a Western Kentucky fan, and I'm not. I would have liked to have seen Justin Johnson take a better shot than the one he did. He had kind of a rhythm three. He was challenged a little bit, and then I think if he steps to the side and lets it fly, I think he hits it. But instead, he was like, "No, let me be aggressive and attack the basket." And then he had some off balance thing. But Bearden basically made the shot. He did everything but make it. You know. He gave it just the right amount of touch on the next play. But watching John Elmore up close just completely take over that game was pretty incredible. It was funny. I said, he hasn't been anywhere. I think I leaned over to left or right, and I was like, John Elmore is kind of missing right now. Then all of a sudden, 11 straight points, right? He's like, three. I was like, okay. I was like, he's going crazy. I think you can see me on the broadcast. I was like, this guy's going crazy. Next thing you know, he kind of gets tired. And I had tweeted. I was like, looks like he's getting a little tired. He's kind of breathing heavy. And then he hits an NBA three and kind of goes on another little run. 20 points in the second half. And, I mean, you can see it. He was, like, smirking out there. I think Justin Johnson was trying to guard him a couple times, and he just walked past him. That's good basketball. Two of the best players in the conference, you know, going at each other. Competing, as my old coach would say. Go out there and compete. That's what you want. That's what you want. We want high-level competition. That's what it was. And I think if you didn't make the trip and it was there for you to make and you decided not to, I think you were missing out because that was good basketball out there. Conference USA is a good basketball league. It's not the greatest basketball league, but it's a good basketball league.
And it was one of the better years that we've had in a long time in Conference USA. The rankings of the 32 conferences right now, Conference USA finished in 12th.
Yeah.
And that's that's really good. We showed tonight, you know, with Western Kentucky dominating Boston College, Middle Tennessee dominating Vermont, a really good Vermont team, dominating them in the NIT. And that shows the strength of the conference. So maybe Marshall makes some noise against Wichita State. It's a tough draw, but they're capable of beating Wichita State.
Yeah, we talked about the two NIT teams. There's UTSA in the CIT, right, the College Insider Tournament. That begins, I think, tomorrow, and they're hosting Lamar. I mean, that doesn't sound appealing to me, but being the Conference USA proponent that I am, I've told a few people, I'm like, hey, you want to go see good basketball? At least one good basketball team. You can go down there and or up there relative to where I am. Go up there and watch UTSA play at the Convocation Center. So UTSA plays tomorrow. Plays Lamar. North Texas plays tomorrow. We travel to South Dakota. I was looking at that. You got to fly to like Sioux Falls or Sioux City and then drive an hour to Vermilion, I think it is pronounced. It sounds like a whole lot of nothing out there, man. I got to say, that sounds like there's nothing else.
Yeah, there's not much out there. And it's,
yeah.
I think they were trying to get it on ESPN3, and I don't think they were able to do that. So you can watch it on their Yotes Vision. South Dakota is the Coyotes. So they call it their Yotes Vision. I think it's free, though. I'm pretty sure that's free. So
that's cool.
I think it's the same platform, Sidearm Sports, that does Conference USA TV.
You know, Sidearm Sports, whoever, if you're listening and you have access to that, I still think right now that you can go on to ConferenceUSATV.com or CUSATV, and on the right they have a Twitter feed, but they have not Conference USA. It's some other guy that has like Conference USA as his Twitter handle, and it's just his tweets, and I think it's in like a foreign language or something like that. And I emailed somebody about it. I'm like, y'all got to fix this. And I don't think anybody has.
That's because nobody listens to you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but it looks stupid. So aside from that, we have, is that all of them? Is that all the tournament teams? Marshall, are they in a tournament? Are they playing in a tournament? How do you feel about Marshall's chances? I know you just mentioned you think they can maybe get an upset.
I'm a fan of Wichita State. That's like my third team down the list.
Yeah.
So it's tough for me because I want to root for Marshall to win. I want to pick him. I think they could be Wichita State. Wichita State. I don't know. I mean, they've had their moments this year. They beat Cincinnati. They're a good team. They had the one guy there, Van Camp. He's been there for like ever. And they got the good inside game, and that scares me a little bit for Marshall because they don't necessarily have the great defense game. If they can speed Wichita State up and get it into a high scoring game. It wouldn't surprise me if Marshall won. And then you talked about it, in the Conference USA Championship game, the way that Elmore was able to take over.
Yeah.
He would be able to do that in an NCAA tournament. He could become a household name for how he plays. It's very possible.
Yeah, and then don't forget, C.J. Burks had a bag. They got two guards that can score. They can fill it up, and that's kind of what you need. You need guard play in the NCAA tournament, and they have two guards, two very good guards. C.J. Burks had a bag. He was like 2 of 17 or something like that in a conference championship game. And we don't care because John Elmore went off, right? He had 27 on like 7 of 13 shooting from three. He even had Mike D'Antoni down and shaking his head a little bit. he's like, oh, not dang. Mike D'Antoni's getting into the game. You know, the ref called a charge. He's like, oh, come on, that's not a charge. I was like, Mike, can you sit down? Cause I need to watch this game. All right, so that there it is. Sorry for not getting it. We meant to talk about Conference USA at the beginning in Marshall. and everybody else. By the way, speaking of the tournament, let me reach over here. Wrench around. If you guys join this Mean Green Nation pool and you win, you get this. You get this shirt. Not this particular shirt, but a shirt that fits you. It's the one that we made for to make fun of UTSA, basically. 98 yards. It's not a problem. And then it got the play that they scored on. That's yours. We're selling it. MeanGreenNation.com for $30. People bought it. So you get to walk around with it just for the price of your selection skills. So join that. I tweeted it. Find the tweet. I'll tweet it again. Find that one. I think maybe I'll put it on what you call it. On the
you've only had like post. 10 people join. So you, I mean
that's about right. Like that, I never joined anybody else's bracket. That I don't know, because you never know.
I'm going to feel bad when I win the shirt, because that's just how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hopefully that if you have made your selection, you might want to think about changing it already, because Virginia lost one of their best players.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they're sixth man of the year. He won sixth man of the year in the ACC. He's out for the whole tournament with a broken wrist. And he's a big part of their team, so you might want to think about changing if you had Virginia.
I don't think I have Virginia going far. I forget exactly. I think I tweeted out just a couple times. I don't think does anybody fill out their bracket on Tuesday? Yeah, I wait until the first four is over, because I don't really consider the first four part of the tournament, even though it is.
I mean, there's some, bracket contest where, you have to fill it out early, like early deadlines. Yeah. Those are out there. But, wait till Wednesday, late Wednesday night.
Yeah.
How you feeling? But a lot of times that first bracket you fill out ends up being the best one, because you don't do a lot of thinking on it. But.
Yeah, exactly. I went against, because usually I lose these things because I overthink it, I think, is it sexist? But my wife always does well on them, because she just like, I like that name, Select. I'm like, that would be a monumental upset, and then it becomes true. I'm like, wow, I can't even.
The last year that my wife beat me was, I want to say like five years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, and she had the time to study these teams, and I mean, like, she spent like all day doing her research, injuries, all this stuff, and she went, the first 2 days she was like 30-2. But ever since then I've been able to, put her down.
The important things. Hey, you know what? I forgot that I had let's take a quick pause before we talk about mid majors. La Tech Report, right, on Twitter. He said, "Hey, what do you think about moving the conference tournament like over a day? So instead of, was it Wednesday through Saturday, it'd be Friday through Sunday. Like, would you want to see the conference championship game on a Sunday?"
I wouldn't mind it, just because of, so everybody moved theirs up to do, Saturday.
Yeah.
Then so that, the selection committee has time to make their changes, whatnot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it being on Sunday, just to have that viewership. I don't know what the Sun Belt drew on Sunday, because they were noonish tip time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of basketball viewing options. Your SEC championship, Sun Belt championship. You had the AAC championship, which was the last one with Jack. But it used to be the Big Ten. What happened to that? It finished the week before. So I wouldn't mind it if they moved it, back a day and we finished on Sunday, if they think that more people are going to tune in to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the whole thing, right? Is it gonna have any value? If it does, then let's do it. For me, I think it was cool because I could drive up there and then drive back on a Sunday, and I can go to work on Monday. If the conference tournament ended Sunday, I'd just drive back Monday. Take that day off. I just shift my days over. I don't care. I think that'd be fine. I don't know if that has a whole lot of value. All right, let's talk about something very important. Middle Tennessee got snubbed, and everybody has an opinion on it. And I think they were done wrong. And it happens every year. Somebody gets snubbed, and that's not the biggest deal. I think here we have kind of like a pattern of behavior. And I think, you know, Ren Baker kind of touched on this. He's like, I'm not really a conspiracy theory guy, but I mean, what is Middle Tennessee supposed to do? I felt like if any team was going to get the benefit of doubt, it would be Middle Tennessee. That said, some of the things they said, right, like the reasons for holding them out, held a little water. They played, they scheduled the right way, but they didn't win any of those games. But I think when you put in like an Oklahoma in over Middle Tennessee, that's bad. But then also, yeah, you know, the average college basketball fan doesn't know one player on Middle Tennessee, and they know Trae Young. So, you know, that you're doing the people a service. You're saying, let's see Trae Young in the NCAA tournament, right? Trae Young's going to play pro basketball. I don't know how many of these Middle Tennessee dudes are going to play pro basketball. You see what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying, but I mean, the NCAA tournament was always about the little dude and the upsets. Like, that's what drew people to it. Yeah, you have your Trae Youngs and, you know, your Kevin Durants and Steph Currys that go off on in the tournament, but I mean, it was, to me, and I, of course I'm a huge college basketball fan, it was always about those little guys, you know, pulling the upsets. And Middle Tennessee was one of the little dudes, and, you know, they've beaten big schools. I mean, they shocked the country when they beat Michigan State, who a lot of people had going to the Final Four that year.
Yep.
And turn around and beat, you know, then everybody was expecting them to beat Minnesota last year, and they beat Minnesota. So, yeah, I think when you look at how Oklahoma was playing down the stretch, I don't think it justified for them being in. And I think that the gripe, you know, that most ADs have and the media people have is there's no – the criteria changes from year to year. And, you know, you talk about quadrant one, quadrant two wins. The reason they did that was so that they it would be easier for their old eyes to, you know, view – it was an easier way for them to sort it is basically what I saw. But, yeah, I mean, look, if – for Middle Tennessee, if they might have won, see, the thing is they weren't even in the first four out.
Yeah, so it's like, that's ridiculous.
Where exactly did you have them placed at? Because they were worthy of that first four out. But then again, you know, being the person that I am, I always say that, look, you have to take care of your business. If you're a bubble team, there's a reason for that. You need to win. And so they had to win one of those, you know, non-conference games. But then again, we don't know who all they tried to schedule as well, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing there, is that it's very, very tough to meet all the criteria that they want you to meet. They basically want you to play like a schedule like a P5 team without, you know, any help. Like, do it all by yourself. Like, how are you going to schedule against P5? You need cooperation there. And that is what, like, Harry Minium, the Virginian Pilot columnist, wrote. And he said, you know, the game's rigged, man. And which is, you know, like, yeah, it's always rigged. I think what you have available to you as a mid-major, as one of these, is to win your conference tournament. And that needs to be the focus. Middle Tennessee didn't play well down the stretch. They lost to Marshall. Marshall played right. They got hot at the right time, and they have the kind of team that can get hot at the right time, right? We said this. I think you said this by yourself, right? And I said this I on ConferenceUSAReport.com. I wrote, hey, look, you know, Marshall beat Middle Tennessee. They're the kind of team that can get hot because of the way they play. And that's really all you need sometimes. And yeah, there is one way to get into the tournament. You can automatically qualify if you win, right? And but the other way is risky, and you're it's like putting in the hands of the ref, right? I mean, like, you don't want to do that. And I think, what's his name? Kermit Davis kind of understood that. He knew that they didn't play well. They lost. The Southern Miss loss was terrible. That is what put them out, I think.
But there needs to be a way for more men majors to be rewarded. Because, I mean, you know, putting a team like Oklahoma an Arizona State in there. Arizona State, who had no business being in the tournament, even more so than Oklahoma. I mean, like, how do you – and even some P5s had gripes. You know, how do you leave Baylor out when they beat Texas twice? And then, I mean, if you're USC, who goes to the conference championship, finishes second in their league, how do you leave them out and put Arizona State in? You know, St. Mary's, I get that one. I mean, they don't schedule anybody, and so then they don't have a chance to be in. Middle Tennessee should have been in. That's like the one, I mean, mid-major team that you say you can point to and say, that was an NCAA tournament team. Their resume, I'm fine with it. They look like it. I think so many people get caught up in the number system, the quadrants, you know, the RPIs, BPIs, all those type of things when – is it a good basketball team? Is Middle Tennessee a better basketball team than Arizona State or Oklahoma? Yes, yeah, they are.
It's that simple.
I think, yeah, you would look at them playing and you would say, okay, I'm going to take this Middle Tennessee. But you, I mean, we hear the conference, you know, or the committee guy that are talking, I can't remember his name, talking about, you know, body of work, you know, Oklahoma's body of work throughout the whole season. It said to us that they deserve to be in. What did they do? Yeah, they were 14-2 at one point, and they were ranked number 4. But have they won a game since then? I mean,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I agree. I think from a practical application, like, what does this mean? What can we take away from it? Right? If they're gonna screw over mid majors, what does it mean for everybody else? I think it means that everybody in your conference, not just Middle Tennessee, they need to win those non-conference games. That's what needs to happen. And yes, it's going to be difficult. It might be even almost impossible. But those are the games you got to win. You win those games on the road early in the season, that can change everything. You know, and then you got to dominate your conference, right? Or near to it. And then try like hell to win the conference tournament. But, like, everybody needs to. And I think Conference USA is in a position where that's possible. You know, like, UTEP just hired a good coach, right? That is looking up. I don't know that we're going to see another team dominate this league the way we saw Middle Tennessee do it. But we need to see these teams dominate other conferences. You know what I mean? North Texas needs to not get blown out by Nebraska. I mean, UTSA played well against Nebraska, I think, from what I remember. But all those things, that's what needs to happen. You know, it's tough. You got to go on a road and play them there. They don't want to come to your house. But that's the way you got to do it. And once that happens enough, then they take this conference seriously. A little bit more seriously than they do now. And then you can get a couple in there. But right now, I mean, look, Middle Tennessee went to the tournament 2 years in a row. And I think for last year, they're bringing in like $3 million, right? Total over 6 years, something like that. Marshall. We need Marshall to win. They need to get this win right now. And they need to challenge West Virginia the next round. Or maybe go on an upset streak and go to the Elite Eight. That's what they need to do. And then they start taking – they're like, wow, Marshall, this team that beat Middle Tennessee, they're pretty good. Maybe Middle Tennessee is good. Maybe we shouldn't have knocked Middle a little bit. Middle, Western Kentucky, they need to dominate in this NIT. And North Texas and UTSA need to do well in these postseason tournaments. That's how you get this entire league the respect that we say they deserve, right? It's by everybody earning it on the court. That's it. And you have a chance right in front of you right now. That's where it matters. So there's your motivation, Ryan Woolridge. Silly. He's gonna be like, who's this guy on the internet tell me how to like, what to get motivated? Shut up, guy. But yeah, so North Texas versus South Dakota. At South Dakota, in Vermilion, South Dakota.
South Dakota is a 13-point favorite.
Oof. Oof. When was the last time we played a 13-point favorite? Was it Middle Tennessee? We gave them a run?
Yeah, Middle Tennessee was up there. I don't remember exactly the point spread of that game. But yeah. Before they put out the line, I said it would be between 10 and 13. So I felt good about it.
Do you get a prize for that? Do we just give you an internet high five? That's what we do?
No, my prize is I get at home. I don't get internet high fives.
Okay.
I don't do that.
That's good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, if you're watching. We're going to try to do this a little bit more. This is kind of trial run, right? Conference USA Media Days, we're going to see you about doing it there. Bring some of those people on. They can be right here. We'll talk to them. We'll see what's up. Thanks for listening. Everybody, everywhere, if you're listening on the live stream, audio only, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching after the fact, thanks for doing it. And go Mean Green. You never say it, guy. What is your deal?
I'm not going to say it.